No, we don't need an echo.
So distracting. Oh, that's so much better. Okay. So today's show is hybrid sounds.
I love echoes.
And it's inspired by Trevor Wishart, and he did the book on sonic art, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It was also inspired by, I don't know, I was riding around in a Prius in L.A. last fall with a GPS tracker named Karen, and she was very inspirational. And also, I guess, the 1% human brain tissue in a mouse at Stanford, and this talk of ligers, and just all these different things kind of influenced me to send out an open call for hybrid sounds and people's own interpretations of what that means to them. And also on the show, we're going to be having an interview I conducted with Lee Pembleton. He's a sound artist in San Francisco, and he is one of several members of the Museum of Viral Memory. And there's an interview in the museum in the Henry Wing, which will be taking place later in the show. And I don't know, Lex, what do you think of when you think of like hybrid sounds or hybridity? What comes to mind?
Griffins.
Griffins? Like manticores? Nephilims? I think they're called Nephilims or something. Like fallen angels and mixed with like a human woman or something.
What were griffins a hybrid of? I can't remember.
Griffins? Was it like a...
Were they just winged lions?
I think so. Mm. Then there's the phoenix, and there's...
No, the phoenix is its own thing, though. That's its sui generis. It's not a hybrid.
It's not?
No.
Oh. Oh. It looks
a hybrid
like
has to be
a
mix of something.
Right.
Like, well, I'm Indian and Polish.
You're Indian and Polish? Wow. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You are not.
That's what they always say in Greenpoint. You're not Polish. You cannot be Polish.
Yeah, you look quite Indian to me. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. In the Greek, the hybrid sounds, the word came from ancient Greek, literally meaning son of outrageous conduct. And it used to mean sheep-goat hybrid. So, these are supposed to be some outrageous conduct going on in these sound pieces. Some people took it literally, kind of is derived from heterogeneous sources or composed of elements of different or incongruous kinds. So I think the first piece we're going to play is, it's called Hybrid Morning, Tea versus Coffee, and it's by George N. Weinisch. And his take was that it was multiple things going on to complete one task to get out of the apartment in the morning. So we're going to play Hybrid Morning.
Sorry about that. We'll be just with you. Thank you.
Okay, so that last piece, hi, that last piece was Not What You Might Think by Michael Peters, and...
Why is your voice so low?
Why is my voice so low?
There we go, that's better.
Because I have a quiet voice. What he did was he had a hot tea in a thermos, and he was out in, I guess, a pen with hens, a hen pen, yeah.
A hen house.
A hen house, that's what it's called. And... Before that, you heard Hybrid Morning by George and Weinisch. What we have coming up next is a piece by George Barringer, and he's from San Francisco. And this is a more kind of primal take, I'd say, on the idea of hybrid sounds. There's no title. This piece is about, it's a 20-minute piece, so it has some build-up, it has some changes. It's pretty complex, so I'm going to play that. And we'll be back with you afterwards.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was George Beringer, first track off of a CD he gave me. And it's actually a 33-minute piece, so at some point we should hear more of it. It's really great. So now Lex is going to be reading a bit from Trevor Wishart's book on sonic art.
It's a little hard to hold this mic and read. And I seem to be panned. Okay, how's that, Andrew? Is that all right?
That was a little.
Yeah? Sorry, we're at the new studio, just so everybody knows. This is now the new studio, Fort Amorously, at 338 Barry, where things don't quite work just yet. So anyway, okay, yeah, so Andrew, you should keep your mic up, though. Come on, this is like, you know, and actually, so like, that was an amazing piece, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing.
He does great work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we're gonna be playing more later on the show.
I hope so.
Yeah. Two more pieces, or one more.
Do you want to talk about more of his work or anything, or?
I know he's a composer in San Francisco, and he's done. I know he gets commissions for all sorts of great things. I know he's done installations and surround sound projects, and he plays in multiple bands. He plays violin, he plays multiple instruments.
So he doesn't just always play animal noises.
No. But he plays it well.
Okay, so yeah, Andrea and I were flipping through on sonic art because that was kind of the influence of this whole theme for tonight. Mm-hmm. And we came across this passage that just perfectly described George's work, we thought.
Yeah.
I should read it?
Yeah,
I'll read it. Okay. So this is it's called Landscape. And it's from the book On Sonic Art by Trevor Wishart. Given that we've established a coherent oral image of a real acoustic space, we may then begin to position sound objects within that space. Imagine for a moment that we've established the acoustic space of a forest. Width, represented by the spread across a pair of stereo speakers. Depth, represented by increasing amplitude and high frequency components and increasing reverberation. Then position the sounds of various birds and animals within this space. These sound sources may be static. Individual sound sources may move laterally or in and out of depth, or the entire group of sound sources may move through the acoustic space. All of these are at least capable of perception as real landscapes. If we now choose a group of animals and birds which do not or cannot coexist in close proximity to one another and use these in the environment, the landscape would be, ecologically speaking, unrealistic. But for most listeners, it would remain a real landscape. So do you think that was like a real landscape? No. It was too fabulous, right?
Well, have you been to San Francisco? It's pretty crazy there. It's pretty surreal.
That's what he's saying.
No,
you know, so that like, you know, you can like make a fake landscape, you know, or like, you know, it's just like a simulated one, like take a bunch of birds and play them, you know, like these bird installations. Then you can like replace animal and bird songs by arbitrary sonic objects. So that's like where this hybridity came from. So you take ecological things and replace them with like synthesizers. And that would be, you know, he's got all these categories. These British scholarly types, they got all their categories.
He's but from so York.
Here's the ones that like that really seemed like George's. If we now imagine a more extreme example of the ecologically unacceptable environment, we arrive at a third type of landscape. For example, imagine that by appropriate editing and mixing, we're able to animate a duet between a howler monkey and a budgerier or a whale and a wolf, and we have a landscape in which the sound sources are real and the perceived space is real, yet the relationship of the sound images is impossible. This bringing together of normally unrelated objects in the virtual space created by loudspeakers is closely parallel to the technique of bringing together unrelated visual objects in the space defined by a painting, a technique known as surrealism, and I therefore propose to call this type of imaginary landscape surrealist. Totally right?
Yep, we just flipped right to it. That's what we heard, I think.
Yeah. Hey, so what are we going to hear next?
Next, we're going to hear an interview I conducted at CCA. Oh, this mic is so high up. I feel like a giraffe. I'm hybriding. I'm reaching way up. Okay, we're going to be playing an interview I conducted with Lee Pembleton. He's a sound artist at CCA in California, San Francisco. And he constructed the Museum of Viral Memory, and I interviewed him in the Henry Wing, and He also has a conceptual band. He also has worn microphones on his body for a full year and had field recordings made continually. I'm sure you had them off when you're showering. I don't know. But you'll be hearing that piece following the interview in the installation. So I'm going to be playing that for you, and here we go. Okay.
That one, the disc man, you should start and pause because it doesn't always start up right.
Yeah, it's not responding. It's okay, here we go.
I don't hear anything.
Hey, this should be an interview. Okay, we're going to play a little bit more of George for a minute.
We're gonna have to fade out George because it seems that there was a problem with that disc, and let's try the other disc, Andrea. It's playing, but there's no levels. There's no sound on that disc. Why don't you go to the next track, though, in case the first track is blank.
Just one track.
And, 33 minutes of silence. Actually, this is a composition of someone's, right? 33 minutes of silence, huh?
I do have it. I don't know what happened to this disc or why it's not playing it right now.
But you have some of Lee's works, right?
We can play...
Let's play some of Lee's works. We don't want to hear the interview with him this month anyway. And everybody can get so excited by the work that
they'll
be looking forward to the interview next month.
We're going to play a whole year of Lee wearing field microphones. No. We're going to play A Year in a Glance. A Year at a Glance. It's 6 minutes of a year of Lee's life wearing microphones.
Mm-hmm. well today.
Hush.
Too fast.
Oh, get this.
My friend,
comedy.
Alright, sit down in there. Be making.
Governor
Gray Davis? This it's a
your game went. Not good.
Just one in that. That's right. With you. Fortunately, it's not the... Hey, I'm sleeping up.
Okay, you're just listening to Stephen Dye's piece called Sea Lion Shrimps, and that was a hydrophone underwater, I believe off the California coast. Before that, we played Year at a Glance, and that was Lee Pembleton's recording of, he wore microphones, I think all over his body, for 1 year straight, and that was a condensed version, a 6-minute version. Up next, we're going to be playing Kiln by Philippe Fauhaus. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. He sent in that piece. It's he compiled one piece from Sound Transit. If you haven't checked out Sound Transit, you can, I guess, Google it. It's pretty much people send in sounds from all over the world, and you can actually map out where you want to go. You can click on different things and travel the world through sound. And I think if you go to Sound Transit, you can find all the different artists that he selected from. And so you're going to listen to the piece is called Kiln. Okay, that was George Beringer. And before that, we played Kiln by Philip Fajas. And right now, I'm going to attempt to read. The microphone is actually like a foot above my head. I'm going to read a little bit more from Trevor Wishart's book on sonic art, as it applies to frogs. And we have a couple of hybrid frog pieces, two more coming up. This is kind of about, like chorusing. And it's combining multiple frogs into one chorus. Amongst the various types of animal interaction discussed, there is one particularly interesting group, which I have labeled us. There are signals made in a collective but uncoordinated manner by various members of the group, which seem to have the function of binding the group together. They are not individual expressions of relationship or mutuality between individual creatures, nor are they signals to the group about situation or circumstances, external threat or internal disobedience. Instead, they perform a quasi-ritualistic function. They express solidarity and may at the same time express a general group mood. This solidarity chorusing behavior can be observed in many species, from crickets and frogs to the group howl of wolves. A similar comment can be made about some of the one-to-one communications between individuals of equal status. As the call of any particular individual in these situations is, we might say, syntactically, semantically neutral, does not refer to any specific or immediate cause of interest or anxiety in the environment or within the individual's psyche, it may become the element of a group, syntax, or semantics. In this way, group calls, which, as far as we can tell, have the gross function of affirming the solidarity or even mere similarity of the group, may develop to a degree of internal structure and coordination. Thus, choruses of the spring peeper frog have a characteristic structure, with each chorus arising in the same manner, time after time. Typically, three frogs sing as a group, and a large chorus seems to be nothing more than a number of these trios calling from the same breeding site. Furthermore, each of these trios develops in the same manner. The call is initiated by a single individual sounding the note of A for a varying number of times. After a brief rest, if he does not have an answer, he gives a trill. This trill apparently acts as a stimulus, since it usually results in another individual starting to call on the note G sharp. When this happens, the two individuals continue giving their respective notes, A, G sharp, etc., for an indefinite number of times. If a third individual does not start calling, they stop their alternating calls, rest, and one of them, usually and perhaps invariably, the one that is calling G-sharp, gives the trill. At the sound of the trill, the third individual of the trio starts giving his call, which is B. Thereafter, the three continue to call, each giving its respective note in the order indicated, A, G-sharp, B, for an indefinite number of times. So we're going to be playing some more frogs coming up. We have something called Moonbog Edit, and that's sent in by Mystified. And what he did was he took drops of water from a sink and transformed them into, well, it sounds like a bog of frogs. I'm going to play that for you right now.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Frogs at Sunset by Joe Maloudis. And, something's skipping. And I do believe he sent in another piece, but it wasn't coming through. So I played that piece. I figured it's kind of... actually, no, I'm sorry. That was Mystified, Moonbog edit. We're going to be playing another piece in just a minute. We're going to be playing Banks Remix by Lee Pembleton, Museum of Viral Memory. This piece, I'm going to talk about in a minute, but first I should announce, make some announcements, that you can find the playlist. You can find it up later this week from the show. It's going to be at www.nyacousticecology.org. And there you can also find more events coming up for the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. And I think the next the next show, we're having an open call for, I think, architecture sounds. I'm not going to be the curator. The curator, I believe, is David Watson. And he's looking for sounds of architecture and maybe religious settings in the city and maybe beyond. So if you check our website, you can find out where to send those to. And also look on, we also post on the phonographers list, so it's a Yahoo group. And if you're interested in field recording or sound design, sound studies, it's a great place to communicate with other people also interested in sound. And it's phonography.org. That can lead you to the website, or if you go to Yahoo Groups and just look up, I think, phonographers or phonography, you can find the site and join the group. So now we're going to be playing. Sorry, Lee, once again, for the interview. I think we're going to play it on the next show. It's a great 20-minute interview with Lee Pembleton, sound artist from California College of the Arts. And there's also a piece we're going to be playing from him right now called Banks Remix. And... it was installed in Tribeca. It's the Museum of Viral Memory's visual and aural remix of Banks Volet's untitled installation at the Whitney. Surreptitiously audio and video recording the piece from a position at one end of a gallery for several hours, they then remixed the sound and created an installation of their own. They projected the video they shot as well atop the construction of a replica in chocolate of the Burnout Cathedral, which Banks had cast in salt, and the... a composition crafted from the Whitney field recording was playing. And you're going to hear the field recording in just a minute. Let's see. So basically, yeah, we decided this is hybrid sound. It's a little pomo. That's how we included it. So I'm going to play that, and that might take us out to the end of the show. We might have a few more words after this piece. Okay, here we go.
I'm well today. Hush.
It's a lot of fucking.
Too fast.
Yeah.
one. My friend.
Comedy.
Alright, sit down in there. Be making.
Not good. Hey, I'm sleeping up.
Thanks for listening to Giant Ear. Please tune in next month. The Giant Ear airs every last Sunday of the month, and we have archives rolling every Sunday. So thanks for tuning in, and please join us next month. Have a good night.